time for a few questions. If you would like to ask a question, please step to the mic here, and you can ask a question, and we'll have time for a few questions. You want to step to the mic? He's right there. No, I need you to step to the mic, please.
Actually, I would argue that Afghanistan's neighbors, with the exception of Pakistan, actually would be happy to have simply a stable Afghanistan, regardless of the government there. Iran would like to see the American troops out, allowing the Indians to build a road from the Persian Gulf, potentially makes Afghanistan a transit out of Central Asia through Iran, gives Iran actually a way to extend sort of its economic influence into Central Asia. The ex-Soviet states of Central Asia don't really have a firm Afghan policy, but they don't want to see trouble there. India has become more and more involved in Afghanistan. It's put more than $500 million in infrastructure. I should say so is Iran in Western Afghanistan and Herat. It controls a lot of the economy in Western Afghanistan. Pakistan is the only one that has designs on Afghanistan by saying we must have a friendly Afghanistan, meaning an anti-Indian Pakistan. The problem is that Delhi and Kabul have always gotten along better than with Islamabad. Afghanistan was the only country to vote against Pakistan's entry into the United Nations on the ground that it was an illegitimate state. That was not a good way to begin a relationship. No Afghan government, including the Taliban, has ever recognized the Durand Line, also considered an illegitimate border. And Pakistan is the one that has the idea that Afghanistan can provide strategic depth, as if it was the steppes of Russia. This is sort of a nonsensical idea in some ways, but it's a fixed idea in the Pakistani military. However, Pakistan would probably be the greatest beneficiary from a stable Afghanistan that's developed for minerals, that's allowed a transit for natural gas from Turkmenistan, from electricity, from Tajikistan. Pakistan would be the great beneficiary. So to some extent, if Pakistan can be convinced that a stable Afghanistan, a neutral Afghanistan, that everybody gets to cooperate with, as opposed to a Pakistani client state, is actually in their long-term interest, I think they would come along with it. But right now, they see the American withdrawal as their opportunity to do what they did with the Taliban in the Civil War and gain control inside Afghanistan. The downside of that is India may decide that no, it would actually make Pakistan's worst nightmares real and move itself into Afghanistan. You know, when the American troops leave, how do we know that Indians won't decide to replace them? It's very interesting, you know, that there's many more scenarios than people are considering, including Pakistan. I think that's put on the table. Everybody can see that Afghanistan's traditional neutrality, cooperating with all of its neighbors, is probably best for the entire region.
I have a question here for you. I just got a email announcement on my iPhone. I'm not paid by Apple, by the way. It was from NPR saying that President Obama is announcing a full troop withdrawal from Iraq by the end of the year. First question then is, to what extent does the drawdown of troops in Iraq bode or presage a similar impetus to bring down troop levels and to basically abandon our mission in Afghanistan. You know, the two seem on the one hand, you know, related, but also on the other hand, they're two different scenarios. But I'd like to know how you think they might be connected. And the kind of follow-up to that is, it seems to me that we're going to be getting out of there sooner rather than later with a job that's been left unfinished. And personally, I'm not a big fan of the occupation of Afghanistan. I've had, you know, colleagues that I respect and admire say, we should get out of there and just let the chips fall where they may. I'm not really sure where to go myself intellectually with that. What do you think the future holds for Afghanistan with a kind of a premature troop withdrawal from the United States without going in and trying to spend more resources, which is politically unpopular, to stabilize the country before we leave?
Well, to my mind, the Afghans are very ambivalent about this. They want foreign troops out, but they don't want to fall back into the anarchy of civil war. They remember the United States said, when the Soviets leave, we will help you rebuild the country. And we left. And they fear, that's what they fear. So they like the foreign troops out, but they don't want to go back to that civil war. They know what happened. But similarly, the United States is in a problem is that when we left Afghanistan, it was in a civil war. People said, who the hell cares if a civil war happens in a country like that? What can it do to us? And it's a particular problem if you're a Democratic president. Because if you pull out and there's a single terrorist attack on the United States, Fox Television and the entire Republican Party will announce, you are personally responsible for this. Because you allowed it to happen. Now, if George Bush did it, Dick Cheney would say, well, what do you expect? We did our best. You know, he'd say, yeah, I guess that's what happens. You know? I would say it's my understanding, yeah, the troops are being drawn down and considerably, but it's my understanding they intend to leave between 20 and 30,000 American troops after 2014. With that size troops, it would probably be impossible for the Taliban to overthrow the Kabul government. So this is an interesting kind of, you know, it does not look like, the Soviets said every single person is leaving. The United States is trying to say, most people are going out, we will turn security over to the Afghans, but leave aside a residual force. So there's been some confusion on that. The Afghan analogy is the Russian, everybody's going to leave. The Americans have actually been a little bit unclear, if you're leaving that few troops, what do they do? But again, you know, with the discussion of negotiations and other things, the hope is to bring about a political solution. But, you know, nobody seems right now to figure out how to do it. And I would say that's in part because we really haven't engaged the Afghans in terms of how do you incorporate Afghans together to come to a solution. Not is it the Karzai government versus the Taliban.
We have time for one question, short question, because we have another program that we have to start, so.
Not two.
One.
Tom, this is a very interesting presentation on Afghanistan, but I actually have just a short comment as a question. And that is my comments about Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And it's the portrayal that I heard you say, and I've heard many news reporters say, many people from the US military and the US State Department, where you say, Pakistan has given refuge to Mullah Omar and Quetta. Pakistan is doing this, Pakistan is doing that. And all I want to say is, it's a lot more complicated than that. And because if you say Pakistan, it implies that the Pakistan government itself is supporting this. And it's much more complicated than that. And I think we have a responsibility, perhaps at least to acknowledge that. Thanks.
I take this partially from an Afghan perspective, which has a tendency to blame everything on Pakistan, all right? So let that. However, is the civilian government in charge? Probably not. The civilian government hasn't been in charge for most of its history. However, the fact is that the Taliban maintains troops, resupplies, has its headquarters in Quetta. The Haqqani network is in the Fatah area. They are in Pakistani territory. One thing about a sovereign state is that a sovereign state is held responsible for what goes on in its territory. That is the nation. That is one of the responsibilities that comes with a nation. And yes, it is more complex. But what I would say is that the Pakistan government, whether it's been the civilian or military side, has been remarkably uncooperative in trying to bring about a solution in Afghanistan except on its own terms. And I won't back down from that. I think that they are an impediment to peace in Afghanistan. And you can make excuses for it, but I think that is the case.
Thank you very much for a very stimulating presentation.